10 minutes after 8 o'clock on the Food Fight. Lisa Dent is with us on the Food Fight, but first we need a setup.
We have your matchup for you if you want me to tell you.
Oh, yeah, because I submitted food and no, they said, well, John's not sure what he wants to do.
Yeah, so you said hard-boiled eggs, so he's countering with deviled eggs.
Oh. So
that's the Food Fight.
Well, then I don't know if I can fight very well because I like deviled eggs.
And they're usually homemade, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. With hard-boiled eggs, I can pop them in a Ziploc bag and eat them on the way to work.
So true, so true. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, John. I'm so excited because since I was approached with that on the air, I've given it a lot of thought.
Well, you see, the thing is, you hit the nail on the head when it comes to one of the idiosyncrasies of the Food Fight is that you usually like what the other person's fighting for. I mean, this happens to me every single friggin' week just about. You know what I'm saying? Except when Karen Conti was on.
Oh.
Oh, that was brutal.
Well, she's a lawyer. She's going to argue any point with you.
I know, but I was eviscerated. I had to put myself, I had to put myself together, back together after that show was over. Seriously. So it's really not like, what can I say? There's no way that you can do these food fights without some sort of crossover. I mean, I like hard-boiled eggs. I eat them all the time. But since you picked hard-boiled eggs, I got to pick something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I went with, what did I go with?
You went with deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs, which I figured out were actually hard-boiled eggs dressed up.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say, you can't have a deviled egg without a hard-boiled egg.
That's right. That's right. By the way, a little history. I like to do a little history here. By the way, I'm speaking to a member of the Country Music Radio Hall of Fame. okay, the hard-boiled egg, ancient origins back to Egypt and Rome, became a staple in various cuisines, salads, snacks, and a protein source. Hard-boiling was a method to preserve eggs before refrigeration became common. In many cultures, hard-boiled eggs are associated with celebrations, and it's got a high protein content and are a popular health food. Pretty much, the deviled egg they share the same lineage, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Deviled eggs go back to ancient Rome, when they were seasoned with spices and served with appetizers, evolved in medieval Europe, filled with various ingredients and served at feasts. The term deviled emerged in the 18th century, referring to the spicy seasoning used in the filling. Well, that's enough of that. So go ahead. Tell me what's so great. I mean, in your opinion, why do you love those boiled eggs?
Well, I love them for convenience. Yes. How about an egg salad sandwich?
Sounds great.
It. Love that. but that's dressing it up a little bit. But I also need them to carry on my mom's recipe, a potato salad, because her potato salad has a dozen boiled eggs in it.
How big is that salad?
It's, well, you know, she always made it for a crowd, but yeah, it's got like one bowl has a dozen hard-boiled eggs in it. It's part of the potato salad.
I hear you. My mother was the same way. I never thought of that. I never thought about, you know, my food orientation is limited. Let's just put it that way. I never thought about the potato salad. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. What about ramen?
Ramen?
I love ramen. You'd never get ramen without a half of an egg that's been, you know, boiled, not hard, but jammy.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I've never had ramen.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you need to give it a try. Get to a good Korean or Vietnamese restaurant.
Yeah.
I prefer Korean, and you'll fall in love. It's the best broth. That's the core of it. And then they add noodles and vegetables and that half of an egg on the top.
Well, the thing about deviled eggs is when people see them, they go, oh, look, deviled eggs.
You're right.
I mean, when they see a hard-boiled egg, it's like, that's nice. But the deviled egg, and you know, there's a variety of ways of doing them, as I understand. And they are festive, usually, and tasty. And you're right, though. You can't carry them around on the way to work. No. Do you have anything else you want to say about a hard-boiled
egg? I just want to say you can make a scotch egg with them. You need them for a Cobb salad, a Niçoise salad. You need it for a piece of avocado toast.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know?
What?
I learned this, John. So I'm on the phone with my friend Jody. We're chatting up everything going on in the world. And I said, I got to go. I'm going to be on John Landecker's show. And she goes, let me tell you about a hard-boiled egg. And what she told me was so crazy that I had to try it. I accomplished it in the last 8 minutes, and
it
worked.
What is it?
Take your if you have an electric tea kettle, like we have an electric one that plugs in next to our coffee pot. She said, fill it with water, put it on boil, put your egg in there, go about your business, come back, the egg will be done.
Well, isn't that the way it usually works?
Well, no. I always put them in a pan on the stove. I've never put egg in a teapot?
I hear what you're saying, but it's the same procedure. It's hot water and the egg.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay. But never had given it a thought that you could just push the button. It keeps it warm until you decide you want to take it out. It was a wild. I learned something new tonight. You might not all be impressed, but I got an egg done in like 7 minutes.
These are the things that make life worthwhile. We'll be back with more on 720 WGN. At this point in the food fight, see if I can find anything, I don't know, like this sort of... I have absolutely no idea who any of these people are.
I would have never guessed you could have found even one song about a hard-boiled egg or devil.
Hey, it wasn't easy, let me tell you.
I mean,
usually it's pretty easy to find these tunes. But I can't tell you how much... And I was about ready to throw in the old... towel, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, these two pieces of whatever they are popped up. And I thought, well, I'll throw them on. So listen, you're from Rockford.
Yes.
And one of the things that you wanted to talk about was Rockford pizza. And the only reason that I didn't say Rockford pizza is that I'd never had it. What about it?
It's the best. It's the best. There are several pizza places. I just found out that Nunzio is finally hanging it up. So get to Nunzio's in Loves Park before you can, because their pizza is unique. All Rockford pizza seems to have a little flour still stuck to the bottom. And when you pick it up, it's always in a box, and it's always got the outline of Italy on it. And my favorite pizza maker is Vito Graziano. He is 92, 93, maybe 94 years old. He's still making pizzas at Capri. They estimate he's made like, I don't know, 150,000 pizzas in his life. And it brings me joy every time I walk in, because their kitchen is in glass and you can see him back there doing his thing. And I don't think there's a better pizza in the world.
Well,
but John, I
got
to tell you, it was a way to launder the Chicago mob money.
What?
What
was a way to launder the Chicago mob money? He said, closing the door so you can't hear the dog.
I love the dog. I was like, I thought it was mine. I turned around and went, oh, God, is that my dog's doing that? So there was a book put out a long time ago called The Pizza Connection. And apparently the Chicago mob way back in the day set up pizza joints in Rockford to launder their money. And that's long since gone, but it started this foundation of pizza and some of the best pizza ending up in Rockford. And I could go on and on. I mean, there's Lino's, there's Sam's, there's Maria's, there's Galata's. It really is just some of the best pizza. Now, based on the scope of Chicago, you know, there aren't nearly as many pizza places, but I put up one of Vito's pizzas at Capri against any pizza in the world.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have got a couple of texts here. I eat a hard-boiled egg every morning. I make them four at a time. But I love deviled eggs. See, there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
Is that you can't really have a big argument about something that, quite frankly, both of you like. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know? That's one of the problems with the food fight, quite frankly.
I don't think it's a problem, because I've learned a lot. Krista, who's engineering the board tonight, told me she steams her eggs. I've never done that. I was like, how do you do that? She goes, you put them in a steam basket and you just steam them and they come out perfect every time. So yeah. I learned that.
By the way, the lineup will continue. I'm off on October 20th, but let's see. Oh, I'll be off, but October 20th, Lou Manfredini will be stepping in to have some sort of discussion about some food that has yet to be determined.
Oh, so. I love that.
Oh, wait, I forgot the most important thing.
What?
Hold on. Let's. People express opinions and we take tabulate the votes. And, Jack, what do we got?
A bounce back for you, John. Deviled
really?
Eggs, 72%.
No way.
I was surprised.
I don't believe it.
I was surprised.
Well, I do not believe that.
And can I say to you people, go ahead and see if you can make an Easter egg with a deviled egg.
There you go.
You're not coloring deviled eggs and hiding them.
No, you sure aren't. Thanks for being with us, Lisa. It's been great having you on.
Thank you. I'm going to go eat my egg now that I made in my teapot.
Okay.